Welcome back, students, and those of you who've heard this show before. I'm glad you're still with me. First-time listeners, I'm particularly glad you've tuned in. I'm your host, D.A. Arliss, welcoming you to another new episode of the Guitar Technique Tutor podcast. My goal as a guitarist and instructor with decades of experience is to raise the quality of my students' and all guitarists' playing level and understanding. So here I am, doing my part to spread the excellence, one guitarist at a time. I'm glad you could join me for episode 013. Well, here's yet another apology. I couldn't get to this yesterday, which was Monday. Now, that's the morning and early afternoon for which I have scheduled recording and mixing time. Well, over the weekend, I don't know what happened, but I did some cleaning and rearranging my office studio area here in the apartment. Well, some of that involved saying a wistful goodbye to one of my old friends, the original bullet-shaped iMac. I mean, this thing was like a tank. I mean, it's still working. There's nothing wrong with it other than that it's really slow. It has had one hard drive upgrade, but it was really limited. It just didn't have any power. Because I wanted to clear off my desk, I unplugged it after erasing everything personal. The E-Man will probably find a new home for it. He can't bear to part with it either. Anyway, all that rearranging led to moving a mobile device charger station that used to be on my dresser to the desk, which led to redoing most of the power cords and the surge suppressors under my desk and crawling around under there and cleaning under there. And long story short, I guess Maximus, that's my 20-inch iMac, was sleeping when I inadvertently pulled his plug out. I didn't think a thing about it. One reason is because if on the old iMacs, if you had a power interruption, the computers were by default set to just reboot when power returned. But anyway, didn't think anything about it. And, you know, I was busy. A lot of stuff was going on. It was the weekend. And, well, Monday morning, I pressed poor Maximus's power button, only to find him dead. I mean, no chimes of doom, nothing. Just like it was not even plugged in. I wasn't happy, but I didn't freak. I've grown. Those who've been listening since the very beginning of this podcast, you'll recall that one of my favorite students' fathers gave me this marvelous computer that I call Maximus, because he thought it died. Later, when I went to pick it up, it did work, and he still gave it to me. But anyway, we've pretty much determined that there is some power issue with it. Of course, I fiddled with all the electrical cords again yesterday morning, but after consulting with Ed, we decided to just let it remain unplugged for several hours, and late in the afternoon we plugged it in, turned it on, and just as always, it was back up, sparkling, shining, doing everything it was supposed to. So I was so happy. I was delayed a day, but no major crisis averted. I back up everything on my hard drive every single week, so barring any unforeseen power interruption, Maximus should be just fine. So anyway, that's my legitimizing my delay in a day of getting to the podcast. Let's see what's new. Hope you had a great week. Last week I saw and played Arno's new Taylor. He's a very happy camper and his playing has improved exponentially already. Bars that were nasty before on his bad action low quality guitar are now playable, clean, and bright. Yay! Now I'll expect even more from him. Well, this is the 13th episode of the podcast. It's packed because in addition to the usual segments, there's the September student review, so let's get directly into it. Here comes the spotlight. The student spotlight is glowing and bathing 6 students in its marvelous light. The students this week who have made the spotlight are Arno, Arthur, Brittany, Danielle, Julia, and Olivia. I'm pleased that some of these returning spotlight subjects are really relatively new students or new players of the guitar. Some of them have played other instruments, but it's really excellent. Likewise, to the other end of the continuum are the students who maintain their zeal and apply themselves well, despite that they have been playing for quite a while. That's truly admirable as well. I mean, just like any new thing, most of us have a lot of zeal and enthusiasm and delight when something is brand new. And when it becomes the day-to-day and the ritual, maybe we're not quite as passionate about it. But the students who were in that category in this spotlight this week truly have maintained their zeal and their enthusiasm and their rate of progress, which is quite extraordinary. To them, playing the guitar is still an exciting adventure and a fresh challenge. So kudos to everybody. You all did exceptionally well. Now let's move on to the question of the week. This week's question comes from Sam, who emailed it in to me. I don't know if Sam is male or female. Couldn't really tell from their email address. The Sams in my life are both Sams and Samanthas. So anyway, Sam said he or she read some of the Guitar Care stuff on my website and states that he or she has never used a humidifier for his or her acoustic guitar and it seems just fine. Does he or she really need to spend the money on one if the guitar has never suffered from drying out? Well, thanks for the question, Sam. A Guitar Technique Tutor podcast pick is on its way to you as I speak. First, let me say that I'm not of the opinion that anybody should waste money. Secondly, let me say that there are ways to keep your guitar properly humidified that don't cost anything, but they're a little inconvenient. Sam didn't say where he or she resides. That might have something to do with his or her guitar not exhibiting the signs of dehydration that are so prevalent when a guitar has not been intentionally humidified. It's also that Sam may be not seeing or hearing extreme manifestations of dehydration, but they're there all anyway. So could be a lot of things. I emailed Sam in a little bit more detail than what I'm answering here. If it's possible, I think everyone who doesn't live at the beach should have a humidifier for their guitar or guitars, a humidifier for each one. I'd play on crummy strings for an extra month or two if I had to choose between a humidifier that was going to protect my guitar and crisp new strings. Your guitar isn't going to become damaged from old stretched out dead strings, but it very well may dry out even beyond repair if you don't humidify it. So, you know, if you're not in the habit of humidifying your acoustic guitar, and I'm talking about an instrument that has a hole in it and a sound box, if you're not used to doing it, pay a little heed. I'm sure I'm not the first person who has beat the drum about keeping your guitar properly humidified. Don't tune out. Listen. Okay, a humidifier is usually less than 20 bucks from most retailers, and if you follow the instructions on it, it's not too difficult to keep your guitar humidified properly. I have a hygrometer in my apartment, so I can see how humid or dry the air in general is, in addition to the little indicator that came with the humidifier that's in my case. I have an old Mark Leaf guitar case with a really, really, really good guitar in it that has a hygrometer, which is a humidity indicator built right into the case. But that's not the situation for most guitarists. Most people don't have humidifiers built right into their guitar cases. Now, let me say this. If you just can't part with $20 and you can't pull it out of your budget no matter what you do, I completely understand. And I'm not even expecting you to go without, you know, cornflakes in order to have your humidifier. Although, I probably would. I'd probably do without a lot of things. I'd have toast instead of cornflakes if it meant, for a month, if it meant that I was able to have humidifier. But anyway, that's just me. If you can't manage to buy a humidifier for your guitar, your acoustic guitar, then your next best choice is to have your guitar and guitar stand. And now you do need to have a guitar stand to do this, pretty much, unless you're going to really take a risk on the stability of your instrument when it's not in its case. You want to have your guitar in its stand somewhere out of the path of general foot traffic where you reside and pets and children. Place a roasting pan or a bowl of water on the floor right in front of the guitar, and then if you can, cover them both with a really large plastic bag if you have one. You know, like a really big leaf or garbage bag will usually do the trick. If you have no plastic bag, the water alone will help, but it's not quite as good as if you can concentrate where that evaporation of the water is going to take place. If you can, put the guitar stand and guitar in the bathroom when you take a shower and close the door. Our goal here is to get extra moisture into the box where the wood is generally untreated and therefore vulnerable to drying out. Some people use aquariums. They have several aquariums containing fish or plants or both, and they have the lids of the aquariums open. Well, that's great for increasing the moisture in your air, and in the winter, you know, sometimes your skin dries out, never mind the poor wood of the guitar. If you have tropical fish, you want to be really careful before you choose to do this. With the top open on an aquarium, you can have two problems. Leaping suicidal fish, and I've been there and done that before. My Scotty had several hatchet fish sushi snacks before I realized what was happening. Or the loss of the heat in the tank could max out your aquarium heater, which may then burn out or stop, and you may lose some valuable fish because of temperature irregularity. So just really be careful with the aquarium scenario with the lids open if you actually have fish in these aquariums or anything that could crawl or jump out, you know, frogs and amphibious things as well. Okay, I have this memory of not that many years ago going with a student who was in the market to bump up a guitar, and we had several stops that we made. One was over to Mandolin Brothers in Long Island, Staten Island. And another was to this private guitar dealer. So we went to this guy's home where he quote-unquote sold guitars. And he had quite a few guitars, maybe three my student was interested in playing. But it was really a pretty nasty house. He was not a clean guy. I believe he was married because I think he sometimes performs with his wife, who's a singer. He's a guitarist, besides a guitar seller. But he had all these aquariums in the room, the studio area where the guitars were. And not only was his house kind of dirty and nasty, but these aquariums were really nasty. And we ended up not buying Dave's guitar from that dude. But, you know, you don't have to have nasty aquariums. You might really enjoy cultivating some water plants. You know, it's kind of a nice thing. It's nice, tropical smell to the air almost, if you have enough of them. So, you know, the roasting pan or bowl of water, hopefully with the plastic bag, that's a good thing. Getting the guitar into the bathroom when you're going to shower, that can help. You know, aquariums, whatever. So, Sam, to answer your question succinctly, yeah, that'll be the day. If you don't live near water and actually have a problem in your dwelling of having too much humidity. What was I just saying? Wait a minute, I gotta do that again. So, Sam, let me answer your question. This is it. If you don't live near water and actually have a problem in your dwelling of too much humidity, you should have some way of knowing exactly how humid or dry the air is. You should at least have a hygrometer. It's very inexpensive. It's available at most hardware stores. I think mine was like $6 or $7 several years ago. I can't say anything is $6 or $7 anymore, but it's not a big expense. It's not electric. I mean, you can get one that just will sit on a shelf or on the floor or next to your guitar. and you'll have an idea of how dry your air is. You really don't want to have less than 40% humidity in the air. Then you're playing with fire then. You need to make sure that somehow, if you're under 40% humidity, that there's extra moisture for the untreated wood of the inside of your acoustic guitar to absorb in a natural way. Please do not spritz any kind of moisture, mist, or any other watery kind of thing inside your guitar. That's not where we're going, because even the slightest mist administered from any kind of atomizer is going to make contact with the wood in a way that you do not want. So do not do it. I am not telling you to do it. I am telling you not to do it. I don't want any emails that you spritzed inside your guitar and now you've got a problem with the wood. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying it needs to absorb moisture in a natural way. And it needs to absorb that moisture, whether it's from a commercial humidifier or vessels of water near the guitar or from the bathroom when you're taking a shower. So, unless you're at the beach, Sam, in which case you're probably not even listening to this podcast, you're probably walking the beach and looking at this great autumn day, you need to have at least an idea of how much moisture or lack thereof is in the air. What you decide to do about that knowledge, that's totally your call. So I'd say you don't necessarily have to buy a humidifier for $20, but you really would do a wise thing by getting a hygrometer and having it close to your guitar, so at least you know if you're in that danger dryout zone. You also may have some minor damage that you're not even aware of already, unless you're in a very humid climate. Okay, I hope this has helped, Sam, and I hope this has inspired every one of my listeners to take care of their acoustic guitar needs. If you have any questions you'd like me to address in the Question of the Week segment, please email it. If I use your question, I'll send you a Guitar Technique Tutor podcast pick too. The September student review is next. Well, this is the September student review. I'm going to try to be brief, but that's almost an impossibility. And you might just hear me sipping some delicious ginger twist tea. I don't know if you're into herbal teas. I like my Joe, but I also like a good flavorful cup of herb tea now and then. And since it's chilly in my apartment and we don't have heat yet, probably not till the middle of the month, I'm having a nice cuppa. And if you haven't tried ginger twist and you like ginger and something nice and aromatic, I think it's celestial seasoning, so you might want to give it a try. I'm going to try not to slurp in your ear, but if you hear me take a sip, it's only because I'm parched. Okay, here goes the student review, hopefully in alphabetical order. If anybody's out of order, it's not order of preference. Okay, here we go. Anya, you're doing extremely well. That's the first thing I want to say. You do need to concentrate on a little bit cleaner playing, whether it means keeping your finger attack a little bit more vertical or the timing of your fingers being just a little ahead of your pick striking strings. You're moving along really well. All things considered, I like the improvement and your personal application to guitar. Just really, really, really be listening for the clean sound that we're trying to get. Arno, what can I say, dude? You're playing better each week. I know you're putting in the time and you have a real desire to do this right, and that really totally pleases me. Enjoy the new Taylor, and I hope the two of you will be happy for a long time and continue your diligence. Arthur, you are playing music that is far more difficult and complex than most students of your experience level. I know it's a challenge, but each week you are progressing amazingly well. You're doing great. Just relax a little bit more, both for your comfort and endurance. Your left hand is a little less tight than it used to be, and it can still relax just a little bit and still produce a clean sound. Once you get used to playing a bit more relaxed, you're going to wonder how you ever played the other way, and you're going to wonder how you ever played the other way. All in all, you're doing fabulously. Brad, dude, why is it such a struggle to get you to play more than 4 days a week? This is crazy. You have really terrific potential. I mention it every time I see you. But it baffles me that you don't love to sit down and practice. I mean, you don't even love to sit down and play, not practicing your lesson stuff. And that I could totally understand. I mean, you know, sometimes enjoyment is a lot more fun than you know, working on something. But, man, you have all the raw talent, but your time management and self-discipline are lacking. Step up, guy. I mean, I don't, you know, you are the only thing standing between how you're playing now and truly becoming an accomplished guitarist. You just baffle me. I mean, you're doing okay, not nearly what you can do and what you're able to do. And I just don't understand the disconnect of how gifted you are and how little the guitar seems to really attract you. It's quite baffling to me. But anyway, all in all, you're doing okay, but gosh, it would be great if you'd apply yourself. Brittany. Ooh, Brit, you're doing so well. I am happy when you have done something incorrectly that you can laugh and get over it and correct it with guidance. That's such a desirable quality. I have a lot of students who are just as musically inclined as you are and as type A as you are, but they can't get over their mistakes, and it's nearly paralyzing for them. I'm glad you can. Not that your mistakes are that plentiful. I just like your attitude about being corrected, that you're in this to really learn how to play, not just to play, and you have the right attitude. You know, if someone's instructing you, you are going to make mistakes, not because they want you to, but just because you're learning, and you really roll with it, and that attitude is fabulous. Your playing has been excellent, so keep up the great work. Then I'm moving along to Carol. Now, Carol, what are we going to do? Life is really conspiring against you. And I know you're not able to get sufficient free time to practice, but still you persevere. It's a wonder. You're just an inspiration in tenacity. Of course, you're not progressing very quickly because you can't put in the practice time, but still, I'm so amazed that you retain as much as you do. Here's hoping to you getting your life so organized that there will be a few regular pockets of time that you can devote to playing the guitar. You're a monster at stick-to-itiveness, and I really applaud you for that. Danielle, we're having great fun in your lessons, and you are developing into a fine musician and a very competent guitarist. I'm enjoying teaching you more in-depth theory once a month. I think this is really, really going to be a great thing for us. I know you enjoy it, and you'll be an even better informed musician for taking the time and digesting more theory. You're doing really, really wonderfully. Keep it going. Elliot, you're now reacquainted with your guitar after a long summer break and the Jewish holidays that have occurred throughout September. Your natural musicianship is readily apparent. We need to harness those great ears and your excellent music inclinations and instincts and direct them towards your guitar playing. I like your desire to excel. Be sure to put in enough practice time. That might be the one place where you might be just falling behind just a little bit. Gary. Your understanding of rhythm has gone off the chart in the past couple of months. I'm so happy. I'm going to continue to remind you and reinforce what we have already learned about timing until it's as natural to you as the other aspects of playing are. Your fretboard knowledge is terrific. Stay at it. You're doing really well. Julia, your first few guitar lessons show great promise. Your fingers are becoming more dexterous and strong, and you are understanding notation and timing very well. I like your curiosity. The first couple of months are when the foundation for everything else you will do with the guitar is constructed, so be attentive to everything. practice diligently. You're going to become an excellent guitarist if you keep your focus. Melissa, you always surprise me. Your casual manner disguises how much you learn and retain. Sometimes I'm just staggered by the answers you give me. Staggered in a good way. Stay motivated and keep practicing. Your playing is going to continue to improve, and you will be an excellent guitarist if you don't lose focus and motivation. And I think focus is really the key here. Mirav, it's so good to see you again. This is your senior year in high school. Wow. After last year's trials and tribulations, I know you can get through absolutely anything. We'll cover some interesting stuff this year. No matter how you avoid it, we're going to do a good amount of ear training. I want you to be totally at ease with it when you go out into the big bad world. There is no reason that you should not be able to listen to music you like and play what you wish. So that's going to be one of our focuses this school year. You're almost back on track from all the time away from your guitar, and I'm so glad to see you again and having lessons with you. Olivia, your advanced playing for your age is truly remarkable. There doesn't seem to be anything you can't do. You're petite and your hands are still small, so they limit what we can reasonably expect you to be able to play. But aside from actual physical constraints, the sky is absolutely the limit for your guitar mastery. I just love working with you and you're doing fabulously. Rob, you're doing amazingly well. I think it's just over a year that you've been playing. Dude, not only are you playing very well, but you have a clue. Not just a clue, but you really understand what you're doing and why you're doing it. Go you. I'm really, really happy with your progress. Keep applying yourself, and you won't be disappointed in what you achieve with the guitar. I think that wraps up everybody for the September Student Spotlight. And here's this week's news. First, let me say, I think I called the student review the student spotlight when I closed the segment, and I don't know if I'm going to get to edit that out, so if you actually just heard that, my faux pas, it should have been student review, not student spotlight. Okay, so this news is from September, but I would say it's still fresh enough for this segment. And the latest issue of Total Guitar, which hit newsstands on September 3rd, had the Epiphone Emperor Swingster awarded 5 out of 5 stars and a Best Buy award. I'm going to read you what Ed Mitchell, some of his comments about the guitar. And you know, I have a lifelong affection for Epiphone guitars. My first decent guitars were from Epiphone, so I have to say, I love the company. Okay, so here's a slightly modified quote from Ed. Rockabilly, blues, jazz, and country guitarists will enjoy the huge tonal range of the Swingster, as will anyone looking for some Johnny Marr-style jangle. We were blown away, nay, stunned. This guitar oozes warm while never losing clarity or focus. It can do bright without ever becoming shrill. Tonally, that can be a tough balancing act, but the Swingster nails it brilliantly. We're sold on this thing. It ain't even funny. Yes, it's beautiful to look at. That wire-handled Bigsby is a grade-A guitar, but the Swingster is much more than just a pretty face. This guitar's faultless playability and incredible tonal range, wide enough to cover most music genres, promote its actual value as a musical instrument way beyond its price tag. Righteous tones, playability, and price tag. Those are all quotes from Ed Mitchell in from Total Guitar. And I'm not here to promote Total Guitar magazine, and I'm not here to promote Ed Mitchell, and I'm not directly here to promote Epiphone, although I do have a long relationship and affinity for the company. But this is a lovely guitar, and if you're looking for a hollow body electric, and I don't mean, by hollow body electric, I don't mean an acoustic electric, because an acoustic electric is hollow. I mean the style guitar body that is called hollow body, you know, the kind of guitar with F-holes instead of a circular hole. This is really one to consider. The sound that this guitar has, and I will have links up to both the article and to a link where you can hear the instrument, so you really understand why Ed Mitchell's carrying around about the tonality or the tonal range of the guitar. One of my favorite now passed on jazz guitar players played this instrument, and it was Joe Pass. And you're hearing Joe Pass as soon as you hear the first two notes, because you know that warm bell-like sound that the swingster offers, plus you know his guitar acumen was second to none. So if you are looking for a new electric guitar and hollow body is a possibility, definitely consider the Epiphone Swingster. I would add my two thumbs up to this 5-star rating of this fine guitar. Okay. Now let's move along to the Take Note segment. This week is just a hair off my main and usual path. It's about music ed for homeschoolers. We're going to get to the guitar part, but let me say a word here, because I suspect that some of you listening are parents or grandparents or guardians or love somebody who's a school-aged kid. So what I say about homeschooling will surely cover them as well. I have a lot of friends who homeschool their kids. Some of their children participate in the music classes that are available at their local public schools, but it's not always possible to coordinate schedules or convenient to build a homeschooler's day around what's going on at the school in town. That's truer now than ever. When I went to high school, for example, our schedules were pretty reasonable. You had your major classes 5 days a week, and you had your minor classes either Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, or Tuesday and Thursday. And at the end of each marking period, the Monday, Wednesday, Friday classes switched to Tuesday and Thursday, and the Tuesday, Thursdays switched to Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So you got the same amount of those classes over the school year. Now, school schedules are far more complex. I mean, I'm not saying that I think they actually need to be, or that it's reasonable, but still, they're a reality. When I hear some of my high school students talk to me about whether it's a B day or a C day or a G day or an H day, and I mean, it's not only that your first period is different every day, but, you know, which classes you take are different every day. It's just really, I don't know that that complexity is really necessary. But anyway, anyway, if your child is not involved with whatever music program their school or the schools in the area offer, if it still offers one with budget cuts being what they are, How do you get music instruction into your home and into your homeschoolers' life experience? I think everyone should be exposed to a wide variety of music genres, and I don't just mean genres of the main genre they like the variety of kinds of jazz there are because they like jazz, or the varieties of kind of rock there are because they like rock. I'm talking about all genres across the universe. And I believe that by high school, everyone should have an understanding, a general understanding of music history. I think that that's sort of part of first or second year humanities in college is crazy. I mean, you should learn music history in high school. It's not that deep or complex. It seems like it would enhance and go right along with learning European history, especially, why the arts, or at least the art of music, is not brought into the study of history is really baffles me. It always has. I probably would have been a better history student if it were introduced to me that way, along with the cultural arts and things that were really going on or that have their root at particular historical periods. Anyway, I'm way off track. Learning to read and write music and play music is something I think everyone benefits from. I thought so long before the Mozart effect was documented, and in a nutshell, the Mozart effect, it's not directly linked to Mozart, although that's the music that was used in the study, but two separate but very, very comparable classes of children were studied. I believe it was two, could have been a greater number than that, but there were groups of children really comparable in mathematics studied, and the one part of this test group listened to, I think it was something like 15 minutes of Mozart before every math class, and the other test group didn't, and the ones that were listening to Mozart excelled tremendously compared to the ones who didn't hear it. And it was the same teacher, same curriculum, basically same level students. So it was a pretty pure study. And what it is not that Mozart's magic, although his music is good. I think it's a little overrated. But it's the complexity of classical instrumental music. It could be the complexity of jazz as well. But some kind of non-vocal complex music. Anyway, you can look up the Mozart effect yourself and read about it. Anyway, there's no question in my mind that from the time school-age student begins to learn to play a musical instrument and listen to particular types of music, that overall their brain functions are better. There's no question in my mind. I don't need a study to tell me that. I've witnessed it countless times. It's documented in spatial-temporal reasoning enhancement, but I believe it affects the system of thought and enhances the ability to perceive subtle or vague patterns. So therefore, I think beyond spatial-temporal reasoning, it extends way out into problem-solving, language, general creative approach to a lot of things. So I think it's maybe a little broader than what the studies have documented. Computer use does a lot of those same things, but when sound is introduced and a totally distinct language has to be learned and embraced and interpreted, namely written music notation, I think there are added benefits. You know, it's yet stretching the mental process one time more. I mean, listening to jazz and listening to Mozart are one thing, but having to learn and decipher this code, hopefully the student's taught correctly, and it's not such a deciphering process as a learning process, but to communicate and be able to express in written music notation a melody with its timing and tonality that you're playing in your living room in New Jersey and have a guy in Tibet get the email of that music on his computer, pick up the same kind of instrument you have and play it exactly the same way you're playing it. I mean, it's unbelievable, and there's value to it. Anyway, I've seen this mentally, well, this enhanced mental ability in almost every student I've ever taught when I've taught them over the course of several years. I've seen the kind of student they were when they began, and I'll have to be honest, most of my students do really well in school before they're playing guitar, but their ability seems to increase. So I think music is integral for a well-developed mind. But anyway, in my very biased opinion, everyone who can possibly afford it should have the experience of learning to play a musical instrument. Aside from cost and time allocation, the biggest issue of music instruction and children is who the teacher is and what instrument is being taught. I'm a little partial to guitar. For all physically equipped youngsters over 9 years old, if they're really ready for it, and I must say here, not every 9-year-old is ready to play the guitar or learn to play the guitar correctly. Some children aren't ready till they're 11. This is all contingent on them being ready. Piano's a great checkoff. If you already have a piano and a guitar is not going to be brought into the home, or your children are younger than 9, 10, 11, piano's really good because it's logical and visually reinforces the theoretical principles that are true for every instrument. But the guitar is not only cooler and portable, but a stringed instrument's peculiar complexities are a wonderful extra challenge to young minds. I'm not taking anything away from the dexterity and intellect required to play the piano and the complexity of reading bass and treble clef at the same time and all that. I'm not taking anything away from that, but stringed instrument does have peculiar complexities that are really mind-opening, I believe. For students who are having their guitar or other instrument lesson as part of a school curriculum, you know, homeschooling in particular, private instruction is ideal. No, an instructional video is not enough. You need a flesh and blood person overseeing technique, offering information and answering questions. Most importantly, to reinforce correct technique and to correct incorrect technique, especially in the first year of learning. That's when all the good and bad habits seem to take very, very deep root. I mean, I have students I've worked with for years who learned long ago. They began with bad habits, and as much as I correct them, without me really being a watchdog, they really want to revert to old habits that are less than desirable, which limit their playing ability, but they're so used to these old habits. So you really want a flesh and blood teacher. I mean, you can learn a lot of things from some internet presentation, but you have to have the interaction with a physical teacher in order to learn something as detailed as playing a musical instrument correctly. So, you know, I mean, even a good computer camera or, you know, video conferencing a lesson is not going to do for you what a flesh and blood teacher is going to do for you. If you are looking for an instructor for your homeschoolers, please go to my website and click the link called Find a Teacher and educate yourself on what to look for in a competent guitar instructor. You parents of homeschoolers have the distinctive advantage of having a very, very flexible schedule. Such is an advantage when attempting to fit into the schedule of an instructor who is in demand. Being able to take a lesson earlier in the day than traditional school dismissal time is a big plus and nearly guarantees you that you're going to be able to find an excellent instructor with time available for you. So now, I mean, just about every good instructor is pretty booked. I have a couple of openings. They're not at great times. So, you know, if you were to approach me or anyone who is a competent instructor of any instrument, being able to say you're available at, you know, 1:30 in the afternoon or something might be the key that opens their schedule up to you. So keep that in mind. In addition to learning to play an instrument that I hope will be a guitar, if you're the parent of a homeschooler or any other child, don't neglect the importance of singing. And that may sound unrelated, but this is a packaged bit of counseling I'm giving you in this take note segment. realize the very first instrument was the human voice, and that's what all instruments initially were modeled after. I co-produced some radio, TV, music education programs many, many decades ago for RTE, which is Radio Televisarin in Dublin, Ireland. And one of the subjects we covered was comparing the practices of American and European kids at that time and their habits or lack thereof as far as singing was concerned. The Europeans sang a lot more in simple day-to-day life, like on their way home from school or as they did tasks. It was really very routine for them to be singing something. And I don't mean that they sang their favorite tune from their most played death metal CD, but rather more traditional music. And at that time, the difference in the incidence of youth-committed crime in Europe and youth-committed crime in the U.S. was huge. I mean, monstrously huge, with the singing Europeans being far more civilized than we Americans. Now, I know most homeschoolers are Christian kids who sing in church, and that's a very, very good thing, but it's not quite enough. They and your children and you need to vocalize music a lot more. By the way, this is, and I mean that for emotional well-being and a lot of other mental processes. But by the way, if you have a child who is frightened of thunder or lightning or something like that, it's a fact that you cannot sing. And again, I'm not talking about death metal. I'm talking about traditional music. You cannot sing and be angry or frightened at the same time you're singing. So drag out some of those old songs that every kid learns, you know, row, row, row your boat for when it's raining and pouring with thunder and lightning. Doe a deer, which will imply a little bit of music theory, a very little bit. Patriotic songs, hymns, holiday songs, songs that have words from kids' TV programs. As long as they're not very dark, like death metal, they will do a lot of, I don't want to say distraction, I will say refocusing of mental energy, and they're good for your kids, they're good for you, it's just a really good practice. So I got a little bit off the track of homeschoolers, but homeschoolers, get your homeschoolers private music education and teach them music history. You know, it's not even an unheard of thing or an unreasonable thing to have them in, you know, a group of kids learning music history. Let one parent do them. I know you homeschoolers have great networking connections, but singing songs, it's good for you to sing and even better for your children to sing. I hope that gave you a little bit of info about the desirability of homeschoolers as students for private instructors, and that it's a really helpful, good thing for your homeschoolers to do, as well as your children who are in private and traditional public schools. If you have friends who are homeschoolers, pass this podcast along to them. They may learn something they didn't already know. That wraps up episode 013. We went a little long because of the September student review, so let's get over to the outro so this podcast can be done. I hope that your guitar is being humidified and will remain so throughout any dry period that presents itself in your region. If you're anywhere other than the beach, you need to really take care of this. I also hope that you have some means to determine the amount of humidity in your dwelling space, and a hygrometer is really what you need for that. That's just a quick stop at the hardware store, or you can order one online. The very, very basicest kind is perfectly fine. If you're in a guitar shop, you might just want to play one of those five-star swingsters for yourself. Parents of homeschoolers, it behooves you to get your children involved in learning to play a musical instrument. The guitar comes to mind first, of course, but any instrument is better than none. Be sure you inform a prospective instructor with whom you speak that your schedule is flexible during the early part of the day. That will make you very attractive to the instructor. If your child is ready, you will be giving them much more than the knowledge of how to play when you give them the gift of learning music. Students and valued listeners, I want to thank you once again for your time and for joining me for this episode of the Guitar Technique Tutor Podcast. I hope you heard something thought-provoking, instructional, and/or entertaining. I will include links to anything I mentioned that you might like to explore further in the show notes. Don't forget that my website is guitartechniquetutor.com, GuitarTechniqueTutor.com, and you can reach me by email at guitartechnique@gmail.com. Please take note that there is no tutor in the email address. Don't hesitate to email me with your questions for the question of the week. If I use your question, I will be delighted to send you a Guitar Technique Tutor podcast pick. You can follow me on Twitter, where I'm Guitar Technique, or you can join the GuitarTechniqueTutor.com Facebook page. Links to both are on the GuitarTechniqueTutor.com homepage and podcast page. You'll also find links to subscribe to the podcast in a variety of ways, as well as to subscribe to the show notes by email or by a reader. If you're seeking expert, competent guitar instruction in Bergen and Rockland County towns in which I teach, such as Airmont, Allendale, Fairlawn, Franklin Lakes, Glen Rock, Hawthorne, Hohokus, Hilburn, Mahwa, Midland Park, Montvale, Oradell, Paramus, Park Ridge, Ramsey, Ridgewood, River Edge, Saddlebrook, Saddle River, Suffern, Tallman, Teaneck, Tuxedo, Upper Saddle River, Waldwick, Washington Township, Westwood, Woodcliff Lake, or Wyckoff, please contact me. Calling is best, and my phone number's on the website. If we can coordinate our schedules and you're a good candidate to learn to play the guitar, perhaps we can work together. Practice, have a great week, and until next time, I'm your host, D.A. Arliss, doing my part to spread the excellence one guitarist at a time.